church. Amen. What a special touch of the Holy Ghost is in this place this evening. Amen. This is no accident. God always does what he does on purpose. And we want his holy purpose to be accomplished in this place tonight. Amen. While you're turning to John the 9th chapter, along with Brother Short, welcome to our guests. And see that some of you have made a return visit. And that makes us even more happy than we was to see you the first time. Love to see people come, and we love even more to see them come back. And what we love most is to see you come to the altar and become part of the family of God. If you've never experienced Bible salvation, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said." And so that does make a difference, doing things the Bible way. And there's a lot of things that the nominal religion does that's not in the Bible. And we want to do what we do because it's in the word of the Lord. Amen. Especially when it comes to our salvation. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. I heard a sound that I love to hear. It was in my office as service was approaching, and I heard the sounds of the prayers of the saints. What a beautiful sound. My office is against the back wall of this building, and prayer was going on in here, and the sound of it filtered back into my office. And beautiful, beautiful sound to hear voices lifted. I could hear the voices of men praying. Amen. I love that sound. And I know God has visited us here tonight because he's heard your cry, heard your prayer. I'm reading tonight one verse of scripture from John the 9th chapter. We'll then go to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, for one verse there as well. John 9, verse 4, Jesus speaking, "I must work." Let's just stop right there. Let's repeat that. I must work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is a time coming for every man, for every woman, for every person where no work can be done. Jesus says, "I've got to do what I can do while I can do it." Amen. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Again, one verse. Verse number 10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Only God knows how much time any of us have left. We would look across this congregation, and the Lord tarries his coming. It would appear to be obvious that there are some that have more time left to live than others. But we don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time I have left. You don't really know how much time you have left. Amen. It would do you good from time to time, if you happen to be in or around a cemetery, just walk through and look at the lifespan of those grave markers. Some of them will be well over 100 years. Some of them not even a week. Amen. That dash between birth and death is a lot shorter than others as far as time is concerned. I've not come to depress anybody tonight, but I've come to motivate you in the Holy Ghost. With the help of the Lord, the wise man said, do what you do with thy might. Put your heart into it. Amen. I want to talk about that tonight. Would you lift up your hands together, everybody? Lift up your voice in the house of the Lord. I worship your mighty name, Jesus. God, I thank you for the spirit, God, of liberty that's in this house tonight. God, I thank you for the effectual door of utterance that you have opened to us tonight. God, give us grace to walk through that door. God, to experience everything that you have for us in this place tonight. I'm praying the grace of God upon us all. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, bless you. Please be seated. There are some passages of scripture tonight that I feel the Lord has directed me to. And I have used these verses of scripture from John 9 and Ecclesiastes 9 as a launching pad of sorts. The principle involved in these verses of scripture is to not just go through life. Don't just exist. Don't just survive. But make your life count. You would look around and say, I don't have as much potential as someone else. It's not about how much potential you have. It's what you do with the potential that you've been given. There are many that have lived life with less potential but have accomplished much more than those with great potential that never tapped into it. Those that just, it was good enough for them just to go through life, just to live another day. God has not called us into the church for that purpose. Living for God is not about surviving. Amen. I know that there are tests. I know there are trials. I know there are hardships. Jesus Christ himself told his disciples, in this life you shall have tribulation. But he also said, don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. You're going to have bad days, but you're going to survive, and you're going to wake up tomorrow, and you're going to have revival. Amen. There's going to be days when you're doing what's right, and it goes wrong. You're going to be like Paul and Silas, doing what you can do for God, exercising spiritual authority, being a witness, being an example, and it got them cast into prison. It got stripes put upon their back. It got their feet and their hands locked down in chains and in stocks. But the Bible says in Acts 16 at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. This has been a bad day. This is not what I was planning on happening when I got out of bed this morning. And the devil meant it for my bad. He meant it for my harm. But God will turn this around for my good and for the good of his kingdom. Yeah. and revival happened, and a jailer and his household was saved because somebody didn't suck their thumb after a bad day. Amen. Somebody didn't take it out on God and say, well, if this is what living for God's going to get me, I think I'll just find something else to do. No. At midnight, at the end of the day, after the beating, after the arraignment, after the arrest, after the imprisonment, we still got something to praise God for. I'm going to sing, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to be a witness, and a visitation from heaven happened, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and everyone's bands were loosed, and revival took place because somebody did right with God. Can you say amen? Amen. And so this prevailing principle about our attitude, about our approach, not just to living for God, but to life. Understand that every part of your life bleeds over into every other part of your life. Amen. If you put everything you have into living for God, if you really do that, then that's not going to be the only thing you put everything you have into. Amen. Those that put everything they have in and live for God make really good employees. They make really good parents. They make really good children and young people. And students, for that matter. Because it bleeds over. Amen. My worship, my prayer, my devotion, my passion for God. Amen. I've put my heart into it. Amen. And because I am living for God with my might, yes, sir. With my soul, yes. With my energy, with my passion, yes. Amen. It will not let me slack off. Right. Right. It will not let me get by on less than my best. Right. 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 Amen. I'm not preaching for your amens, but this is good preaching tonight. Amen. A sincere desire to be your best for God. Not just inside the sanctuary. But a real desire to be your best for God. Amen. Amen. It's on you on Monday morning when you pile up out of the bed to go to work. It's on you when you have to stay up a little bit later to study for that exam. Because I want to do my best. Amen. A striving for excellence affects every part of my life. And I want to do what I can do while I have a chance to do something. This may very well be, amen, my last opportunity to stand in this desk. Again, only God knows if this is my last chance or this is your last service. Amen. Amen. The trumpet might be about to sound. Amen. Or tragedy might happen to one of us. Amen. We don't want tragedies to happen. We do not mind if the trumpet sounds. And we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's fine. Thank you very much. But we want to do our best every day that we live. God has given me this opportunity. I'm going to give it my best. So God has done all He will and all He can do. There are many things concerning your success in the kingdom and in life, for that matter, that are just quite simply up to you. It's not up to God. God has done what needs to be done. The Bible declares in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I've been given by God everything I need to succeed in life and in church. I have no excuse. I have been given what I need to be successful. God has given according to His divine power. all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us, notice, to glory and virtue. Amen. God has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It might get a little quiet here right now, because God has made his nature available. The Holy Ghost is God's nature. You shall receive power. Somebody shout power.
Power.
Acts 1 and 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. Amen. It means inherent power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. God infused your soul with his nature. That's why when you do something wrong, you feel convicted, because wrong is against God's nature. Amen. That's why you feel the need to repent when you're not giving everything you've got, because not giving everything is against God's nature. Hallelujah. Amen. Please don't reject God's nature. I know there's some of us here tonight. Amen. Every one of us has a part of our lives that God's nature goes against our nature. We all have chinks in our armor. We all have flaws in our character. We all have weaknesses. We all have blind spots. We all have faults and failures. But there is a divine nature that is imparted to us through the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did not the Apostle Paul say that the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Amen. Jesus is in me. And he motivates me to do my best to put my heart into everything that I do. Especially the things concerning the kingdom, but not only those things. Because what part of life does not the kingdom pertain to? Am I only involved in the kingdom when I'm at church? Am I only involved in the kingdom when I'm at prayer or worshiping? Am I not an ambassador on the workplace? Am I not an ambassador of Christ? Am I not involved in the kingdom when I'm shopping for my groceries? Paying my bills? Amen. Dealing with a discrepancy? Amen. I am representing Jesus Christ 24/7. And I need to do my best to be my best at all times. Amen. Amen. According as his divine nature hath made these things available, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped corruption. And beside this, amen. Now that's what God's done. God said, I've done all I can do for you. I've made all that I can available for you. My divine nature, nothing can measure up to his divine nature. The best that you can have available is available to you. Knowledge of God, divine nature, escaping corruption. And if that was all there was to it, we would all perhaps be a lot better off. But it's not just up to God, is it? Because the Apostle Peter then says, beside this, oh, there's more to this than just what God does. There's what you do with what God has done. Beside this, giving all diligence. How much diligence?
All.
Not some diligence. Not a little diligence. But all the diligence you have, give it. Oh my God. Give all diligence. Add. Now who's doing the adding? You are. You give diligence to add to your faith virtue. Bible said that God has given to every man the measure of faith. But it's up to you what you do with it. You can exercise it and thereby your faith grow stronger. Or you can ignore it and your faith can become weak, anemic, and ineffective. But you can add to your faith virtue. Somebody say virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. You can't add knowledge without study. You can't add virtue without discipline and diligence. You are not by nature virtuous. You're by nature sinful. But his divine nature makes the escaping corruption available. But it's up to you whether or not you avail yourself of it. It's not up to God. It's up to you. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. That's up to you. You decide how temperate you are. God does not decide that for you. But you add temperance. And to temperance, patience. God, give me patience. God says, add your own patience. It's available. My divine nature is available. Nobody's more patient than God. But it's not up to God how much patience you have. That's your decision. That's your effort. That's your giving all diligence to add virtue and to add knowledge and to add temperance and to add patience and add godliness. And to add brotherly kindness. And to add charity. Give all diligence. This is your responsibility. God says, I've made it all available, but I'm not going to make it happen. I will not force the issue. For if these things be in you, what things? Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, the things that you add. If these things be in you and abound, not just if you have them. But again, diligence, if they're vibrant and alive and active in your life, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things, I say again, are available, but it's up to you how much you have of them. Verse 9 of 2 Peter 1, but he that lacketh these things is blind. What things does he lack? The things that he did not add. He left everything up to God. God, if you want me to have it, give it to me. God says, I already have. Take it. I've done everything I can do to make everything available, but it's up to you to add to it. If you lack these things, he's blind and cannot see afar off. Notice, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I've never seen anyone lose out with God that was living for God with all their might. I've never seen anyone backslide, coming early for prayer and really praying. Coming to an altar and really responding. I've never seen it happen. When they're adding and they're giving all diligence, they don't forget where they've come from. But those that slack off, those that just go along to get along, those that just show up, amen, and sit through services and just depend on everyone else around them for their spiritual safety and security, they tend to forget what God has done. Hear me, what I'm saying is the less you invest in your experience with God, the less it will mean to you. The less it costs you, the less you will value it. And the more you invest, the more it costs. The more effort you put into it, the more it means to you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm trying to get where God wants us to go tonight. But Peter said there's another option. You don't have to forget. You don't have to be slack. You don't have to let down. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make good on what God has done. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Never fall. But that's not up to God. Those that buy into the false doctrine of eternal security must have taken 2 Peter chapter 1 out of their Bibles. Because everything about my salvation is not up to God. A lot of my salvation is up to me. Oh, Brother Walter, that's not really about being saved. Oh, yes, it is. Because the next verse, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he continues, I will not be negligent. I will not be silent. I will not ignore the issue to put you always in remembrance of these things. You're going to get tired of hearing it, but you're going to keep hearing it. You can tune me out, but you're going to hear it. It's going to be preached. It's going to be taught. Hey, man, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it right, proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm walking in this world, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm going to remind you that it's up to you. I'm going to teach, it's up to you. I'm going to declare, it's up to you. I'm going to motivate you. Don't sit around and wait on God. God's already done his part. Do yours. I will not let you sit there, amen, and twiddle your thumbs. Amen, I may get on your nerves, he's saying. I know you already know all this, but you're going to hear it again. You need to hear it. You need to be reminded that I have an investment, amen, to pay in my salvation. This principle of doing what I can while I can is manifested here. He says in verse 14, knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle. I don't have many days left. God has shown me I'm about to enter into eternity. But as long as I have breath in my body, I will remind you, give diligence. Give diligence. Don't slack off. Don't be careless. Don't just go through life. Don't just go through the motions. Come on, it's not necessarily how much energy you expend, it's how much progress that you make. Amen. In the military, I don't know much about military. I do know a little bit about marching. I was in band when I was in school, and there's this thing called marking time. In other words, you're going through the actions of walking, but you're not going anywhere. I'm expending energy. I'm in line. I'm in time. We ain't going nowhere. I know this is very simple, but there's a lot of folks. This is how they live for God. They line up. They show up. They're in their place. I'm telling you, when the drum major blows the whistle and points his baton, you're not going to stay in your place if you don't move out. There's a time when it's forward march.
That's right.
Amen. And to stay in your place, you're going to have to move. You're going to have to do more than just expend energy and not make any progress. Come on, we've got somewhere to go. I can't get where I'm going just marking time. I'm going to have to put one foot in front. I'm going to have to march uphill, but I've got to go. I've got to keep marching. I might have to step over a pothole. I might even trip and fall and embarrass myself. But if I want to stay in my place, I got to get up, get back in line, and keep moving forward. Give diligence. Give diligence. Hallelujah. Don't give up because you fall down. Don't give up because you get embarrassed. Don't give up because you get offended. Don't give up. Give diligence. Don't give out. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Takes it a step further. He said, I'm going to do everything I can that after I'm gone, you'll still remember. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I'm living my life and investing myself in your spiritual success. Oh, God, open our eyes to see the value of self-motivation. God will not drive you. He'll lead you, but it's up to you if you follow him. Oh my, it's all throughout the scripture. He's the shepherd. Shepherds lead. They know where to go. They don't push the sheep. They don't rope the sheep and tie them and drag them. The prophets, through divine inspiration, likened a stubborn people of God as backsliding heifers. King James Version. They're digging their hooves in. I'm not going. And you can tug and you can push and you can pull and you can prod and you can sick the dogs on me. But I'm doing everything in my might to stay where I am. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. That's not how we're to live for God. What does that prove? And what does that accomplish? That doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help you. God will make himself available to you as he did for the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3 when he said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I've gone as far as I can go. Amen. I've done all I can do. Amen. I've drove across town, got out of my car, walked up your drive, amen, walked up the steps of your porch, amen, I'm knocking on your door, but if I come in, it's because you get up and open the door. I will not force entry. I will not jiggle the handle to see if it's open. I will not see if there's a window left unsecured. I will not do that. I will not force my will upon you. Now, a thief will. The thief will force entry. He'll impose his will upon you. But God won't do that. He'll say, here I am. The rest is up to you. You feel the Holy Ghost here? Let's lift our hands and thank God for his word that's coming right now. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. God, help us to take this next step. In Jesus' name. God, we need your grace tonight. This is not just something to go home and think about, Lord. This is something to mix with faith and receive with meekness. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Paul writes in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do what you do as unto the Lord. Now he's dealing with physical life. He's actually talking to servants. He says, be the best you can be. Not just when the master's around. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not just doing right when you're being watched. Not just doing good when you're under supervision. Now this does not, this applies to everybody. This applies to mamas and daddies. It applies to sons and daughters. It applies to students. It applies to adults. It applies to those in the workforce. Do what you do as unto the Lord. Not because Jesus is watching, ooh. No, because I'm giving all diligence. I want to please God, and I'm a Christian. And Christians do their best. Come on, I've got a spirit of excellence inside of me. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got God's best. And bless your heart, the Holy Ghost won't let me slack off. The Holy Ghost won't let me just do enough to get by. The Holy Ghost won't let me be satisfied to do enough just to pass. That's not as unto the Lord. You may do that as unto your parents. You may do that as unto your teacher. But please don't do that as unto the Lord. Do it heartily. Somebody say heartily. It actually means your soul. Put your heart in it. Do it with your soul. The vibrance of your life. Put it into it. Do your best at everything you do. Oh, Jesus, I'm butting heads with a stronghold in some hearts and minds tonight. I love you, but you need to hear the word of the Lord. You have allowed yourself to be deceived that there's a lot of things that God just don't care about. He does care about your performance at work. You young men and you young ladies, you hear this preacher. He does care about your grades. He cares more about your grades than your parents do. Because you're setting a pattern for your life. Mama and daddy, you better hear Brother Waldrop tonight. If it's okay with you, well, you know, they just didn't inherit a lot upstairs from my side of the family, and they're doing better than I did. Come on, pray through. Stop giving them a pass just for passing. Come on, we're going to be Christians. Amen. My best may not be as good as someone else's best. As a matter of fact, my best may not be as good as someone else's not best. Someone else may be able to give half effort and do better than my full effort, but that's not really what matters. It's not about who's got more to work with. It's about what you do with what you've been given. Amen. The servant that was given lesser talents still got a reward. In the eyes of the master, he did just as much as the one that was given more. Because they both took what they had and doubled it. And they both heard the words, well done. I submit to you that the one that was only given one talent, if he'd have taken that talent and made just one more, he'd have heard the master say, well done. It's not about, well, I don't have as much talent, so I won't even try. Pray through. Well, that don't come natural for me. Pray through. Lord, you're trying to spiritualize everything. Amen. I'm preaching the word of God to you. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Amen. Whatever you find to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I know I've jumped up on my soapbox. I'm licking my candy stick to death right now. But if your best is a B, don't make a C.
All you can do is pass, and bless your heart, don't fail. And don't just shrug your shoulders and say it don't matter. It does matter. Because I'm going to get up out of bed tomorrow, and I'm going to live another day, and today matters. When I don't like my job, well, pour your heart into it, and God might give you a better one. If you'll do it as unto the Lord, He might give you a promotion. He might open another door, but why would God bless you for not giving your best? Just doing enough to get along, not being a Christian, not doing it heartily as unto the Lord. Why would God give you a raise or allow you to be promoted or open the door for a better job if you're not being a real Christian on the one you already have? If you're not doing it heartily as unto the Lord, why? What does God have to work with? Oh, Jesus. I've done jumped out of the frying pan and I'm in the fire right now. I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. I may smell like smoke when it's over, but as long as I'm in this tabernacle, amen, as long as I've got sweat to sweat, I'm going to sweat it. As long as I've got a breath to breathe, I'm going to breathe it. Amen. My voice may be hoarse by the time I'm done tonight, but as long as I've got a voice, I'm going to preach it and declare it tonight. Come on. Let God affect every part of your life. Come on, stop living for God at church and live for yourself. Amen. The rest of the time. Come on, I'm living for God all the time. I said I'm living for God all the time. Come on, let the spirit of this get a hold of you right now. Come on, there's a spirit of excellence. There's a passion. Amen. For Holy Ghost desire and power. That God says, I want to put it in you. I want you to receive it. It's available for you tonight. Oh, let's love Him. Let's love Him together. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Oh. Come on. Do the best you can with what you've got. Do the best you can with what you've got. Give your best effort every opportunity. Remain standing. Musicians, come please. God reminds His people through the voice of Moses. Deuteronomy 6, He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord. This is not a suggestion. This is not an option, it's a commandment. I really have no choice but to give my best. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy might and soul. All. Love Him with everything you've got. My energy, my emotion, my intellect, my passion, my desire. I'm loving God with it. He said to the parents, teach these things diligently to your children. Talk about it when you're walking in the way. Talk about it in the morning, in the noonday, in the evening, bedtime. Write it upon the door post of your house. Make it as frontlets between thine eyes. This is a big deal with God.
We're going to give God everything all the time. I never quite saw it on this fashion, but God said, there's a reason why you give it your best all the time. He said, because there's a day a coming when you're going to move into a city that you didn't build. You're going to pull fruit off of a tree that you didn't plant. You're going to pull fruit out of a garden that you didn't till that ground up or plant that seed. You're going to lay down in a bed that you didn't buy. There's going to be things that have been provided for you that didn't cost you a thing. And he said, beware in that day that you don't forget the Lord. And I'm thankful for everything that anyone has ever done that's gone before us. But I'm looking at a bunch of people that you're enjoying things that you didn't buy. You're living on the benefits of somebody else's effort. And if you're not careful, you'll get spoiled rotten. Because a move of God doesn't cost you anything. You just show up and everybody else brings it down and you just enjoy it when it happens. There's going to come a day when you need a move of God for yourself. And when I need something for myself, I'll have what I need if I have been living my life with everything I've got, with my might. Would you lift up your hands right now and love the Lord? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I feel Holy Ghost conviction here right now. I feel a call to a higher place in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's mind the Holy Ghost. Let's do this heartily as unto the Lord. Let's give diligence tonight. I'm not driving you. I'm really trying to encourage you and help you. I know what I'm feeling right now. It's not because I cried tears over this service. It's not because my shoulders heave with my face and my hands sitting on my desk crying out. That's not why. It's because God has a purpose and God has a desire and God has a plan, not just for this church, but for you. Amen. Not just for your mom and daddy, but for you. Not just for your family, but for you. There's far, I feel a witness of this. I'm going to say this and try to close. There's far too many people that's hearing my voice right now that it just really doesn't mean that much to you. I'll just say it like I feel it. I'm afraid for you. Because the apostle said, those that don't give diligence, they forget that they were purged from their sins. Those that don't give diligence, an entrance is not offered to them into the heavenly kingdom. And you go through life where nothing matters. I'm haunted right now by some of the blank stares and faces I see sometimes during worship service. You're just standing there while the songs are being sung and you're just, you know the words, but you don't care enough to even open up your mouth. It doesn't matter to you. Yes, that's strong and yes, that's straight, but it's true. How do you expect to walk streets of gold when you can't even participate in a worship service?
You're asked to, let's lift our hands, and you just stand there with hands hanging down by your side. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord, and you just fold your arms and look around. Yes, that happens. That happens here in this church. I hate to say it. It burdens my soul. You need to wake up. God is talking to you tonight. It needs to mean more to you. Everything you do needs to mean more to you. You're setting a precedent for your life. You're setting a direction for your life, and it doesn't lead to heaven. It really is that serious. I'm dealing with somebody's eternity right now. I wasn't planning on going here, but here we are. I'm dealing with somebody's eternity. Brother Waldrop, you just don't know what I have to go through. Talk to Timothy about that. Talk to Timothy about his unsaved daddy. But he had a man of God that would write and said, I'm thankful for your unfeigned faith, your unwavering conviction. Not because you were spoon-fed. Not because it come easy. Not because it didn't cost you anything. But even to faithful Timothy, Paul said, I'm urging you to stir up the gift of God. Even faithful people need to be stirred up. But Paul said, I'm not stirring it. You need to stir up the gift. You stir yourself up. You get convicted. You step out. You put forth an effort. Well, if it's really me, then a man of God will come and lay his hand on my head and say in my ear that God's talked to me tonight. No, you need to have enough discernment. You need to have enough conviction. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is not my style of preaching right now, but God forbid that anyone is lost from an apostolic church. Amen. I want to give my might. Would you join me right now? Let's give of ourselves. Come on, I want you to make an investment in your own salvation tonight. You stir up the gift of God. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't forget. Amen. It may not have been where you come from. Amen. Church may be all you know. But don't forget where you could end up if you don't care about living for God. If you don't give your best. If you don't live life as unto the Lord. Oh God, let conviction stir us tonight. We receive it, Lord. Open our eyes. Anoint our eyes with eye salve. Touch our hearts. God, forgive us for making excuses. Forgive me, God, for being way too easy on myself. These altars are open tonight. I guess really, it's what I've preached tonight. It's up to you. How diligent you'll be. how sincere and passionate you'll be. How much you'll avail yourself of a spiritual opportunity tonight to be better for God. God, I want to be a better son, a better daughter. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better worker. I want to be a better saint. I want to be better, God. I want to be better in worship. I want to be better in prayer. I want to be better in response. I want to be better in evangelism. I want to be better in study. God, I want to give diligence. God, I want to give diligence. I want to give diligence. God, I want to give diligence. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Ikalabahai. Ilobohoshi katalabokohoshakatai. Oh, Holy Ghost visitation. Holy Ghost impartation. Oh, God, wash me of presumptuousness. God, forgive my entitlement mentality. God, expecting something for nothing. Oh, be willing, God, to pay the price to hear your voice.